This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 8th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have this week's issue of Legal Issues in the News with commentator Amy Guidant. We'll also get a forecast as we begin our week with meteorologist Ed Kieser. It's turning cooler after today and tomorrow. First of all, look at today's news. An arraignment is set for tomorrow afternoon for Robert Arnett, the estranged husband of a woman found dead last week after she was missing for 4 months. Arnett was arrested Saturday at his home and charged with murder and concealing a homicidal death. He's being held on $5 million bond. Searchers found 36-year-old Naomi Arnett's body a week ago near a slough south of the woman's hometown of Sadorus. Mrs. Arnett had 7 children. Illinois lawmakers this week are expected to vote on a measure that would allow trucks to drive at higher speed. As Mike Rhee reports, the question is whether that's safe.
The governor vetoed the measure last month, but the Senate voted to override. As the issue moves to the House, state transportation officials are urging representatives to reject the measure. It would allow trucks to go 65 miles per hour on rural interstate highways. Mike Claffey is a spokesperson for the Illinois Department of Transportation.
When you raise the speed limit for trucks, you make the roads more dangerous, and very often you cause more fatalities.
But Danville area representative William Black says that's not true.
Where there are miles and miles of nothing but miles and miles, the studies have indicated that the same speed limit is certainly safe.
Black also says Illinois companies in rural areas need the extra speed in order to stay competitive. Most surrounding states have uniform speed limits for cars and large trucks. I'm Mike Rhee.
Despite opposition from the governor, the Illinois House has decided that people can organize into video gaming leagues. We have the story on that story from Amanda Vinicky.
Is the popular video golf game Golden Tee a game of chance or of skill? The difference matters to the law. In Illinois, tournaments and leagues are only allowed for games that require skill. Democratic Representative Bob Malaro says that definition has led to problems. Some state revenue agents, he says,
they were saying you can't have a league where you're giving away prize money for Golden Tee or darts on a computer because it's a computer.
The General Assembly passed a measure to clarify that certain video games do require a special skill, thus allowing, say, leagues that play Golden Tee or other games and computer trivia tournaments to pay out prize money. Governor Rod Blagojevich vetoed the measure. Opponents fear it's a way to legalize gambling at places like grocery stores, bars, and truck stops. But the House overrode the veto. Malaro says he's sure Golden Tee meets the skill definition.
I couldn't beat my kids if I played it for 1,000 years. So
the Senate has to also override the governor before the measure becomes law. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Indiana lawmakers say they're making progress sorting through various property tax restructuring plans. The chairman of the Senate Tax Committee, Luke Kenley, who chairs a bipartisan commission on property taxes, says there is consensus on the goals. Lawmakers want to provide significant property tax relief for Indiana homeowners and develop a new system that's fair and reasonable. Governor Mitch Daniels hopes to present his own plan by the end of the month. Kenley's panel hopes to have an overhaul proposal drafted in November. Other plans could be on the table by the time state lawmakers begin their session in earnest in early January. Governor Daniels says his plan is likely to include proposed amendments to the state constitution. A yearly program that recognizes the Chicago area's best teachers is coming to Central Illinois this year. The Golden Apple Foundation started 22 years ago. Each year it picks 10 teachers nominated by students and friends and honors them with an Academy Award-style ceremony. But that may be the least important reward. Debbie Erickson, a former Golden Apple winner who's overseeing the downstate rollout, says winning teachers also get a laptop, a cash award, a college scholarship, and a sabbatical to further explore their world.
I studied things I normally wouldn't have studied, like drama and ethnography. And then I traveled to Russia, where I worked with teachers from 10 areas of Russia in a global schools project.
Erickson appeared on a recent edition of Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. She says former winners also get together to work on projects that help further everyone's education. In fact, the first group of winners set up a scholarship fund for new teachers. The Golden Apple Foundation is taking nominations for teachers in an 18-county region. To nominate, you can go to goldenapplecentralillinois.org. That's all one word, Golden Apple Central Illinois. A Chicago literary icon has lost a chance at having an honorary street named after him. Sean Ali has more.
Saul Bellow's Portraits of Life in Chicago clinched literary awards, including a Nobel Prize. But Bellow spoke about Chicago outside his books, too, and that halted an effort to honor him with a street or other place name. Alderman Toni Preckwinkle says she will not commemorate Bellow's because of a speech he gave before he died. She says Bellow alleged African Americans and Latinos were destroying Chicago neighborhoods through neglect. Longtime friend Richard Stern says Bellow did speak ill of his neighborhood's transformation, but he was being wistful.
I do think she got Bellow wrong and that she didn't really understand the context of his remarks. After all, if one grows up in a certain way and it admires certain things, time changes, those things disappear.
Stern says he respects Alderman Preckwinkle's decision. He says he will not make another request to honor Saul Bellow. I'm Sean Alvey.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. What makes it so that one person can sue and another cannot? As commentator Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, it all comes down to what goes into your mouth and sometimes what words come out.
There's a certain moral here, one worth reviewing right up front, even before you hear the details. What you put in your mouth might come back to bite you, figuratively and literally. Just ask two people who made news recently. One, the figurative one, claims that she drank some acid she said a repairman left behind in an old ginger ale bottle. The other claims he put a rattlesnake in his mouth and it bit him. He's the literal one. And even though both say that they've been injured, only one has filed a lawsuit. Guess which one? If you guess the one who drank the battery acid, you'd be right. As I write this, news reports suggest that her claim is that the repairman left the acid in her basement in both water containers and the ginger ale bottle. There's likely to be a dispute about the facts, of course, and it remains to be seen precisely what the defendant in the case will argue. But the bottom line is that the woman's ability to maintain any lawsuit is certainly better than that of the rattlesnake guy. It's all about causation. The battery acid woman will argue that someone else caused her troubles, even though she is the one who took a sip. She says, for example, that she didn't know it wasn't a potable liquid inside the bottle in the basement. The argument for now, which he's telling us in court documents, according to the Chicago Tribune, is that someone else's wrong caused her injury. She put the liquid in her mouth without knowing what it was. Negligence is a likely claim here. Negligence in law means that she'd be arguing that somebody else owed her a duty and that somebody else breached that duty, thereby causing her injury and damaging her in some way. Duty, breach, causation, damages. All she must claim to go forward with a lawsuit brought about by another actor. But when one chooses to bite a snake without any additional fact nuances, like that someone forced you into it, you're pretty much out of luck. Everybody's supposed to know that certain snakes can be dangerous, especially rattlesnakes, and that they can bite, especially when they believe they are being bitten themselves. The rattlesnake man, in contrast to the battery acid woman, he's reportedly told media that he knew of the snake's proclivities and he chose to put the snake in his mouth anyway. He did it to show off for friends, he told an Oregon reporter. At least at this point, he's taking the fall for the snake bite. To quote him, "It's actually kind of my own stupid fault." He told a reporter that when his friends ask him why he did it, he says it was his own stupidity. You probably won't ever hear that coming from the plaintiff who drank the acid. To maintain her lawsuit, she can't say that. So yes, what you put in your mouth can come back to bite you, and depending on the facts, leave you without anybody to blame legally except yourself. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Our meteorologist Ed Kieser is calling for a cooling trend after some more record warmth today. Our forecast for northern and western Illinois for today calls for increasing clouds with showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, but elsewhere, mostly sunny and hot. Highs today ranging from 77 in far northwest Illinois to 93 in the south, and Ed's calling for a record warm day here in the Champaign-Urbana area. For tonight, in northwest and west central Illinois, clear to partly cloudy and cooler. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, and overnight lows ranging from around 50 in northwest Illinois to 65 in southeast Indiana. For tomorrow, some lingering clouds and showers in southeast Indiana before it becomes mostly sunny. Elsewhere, mostly sunny for the entire day around much of the two states. And highs tomorrow, cooling off, ranging from 65 in northwest Illinois to only 82 in the far south. Ed says for the next couple of days after that, in Champaign-Urbana, we may see temperatures not reach the 70-degree mark. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 8th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.